I speak in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I'm a story person. I read avidly, and I love a book with a good plot that keeps me guessing, wanting to know what's going to happen next, and most of all, how it will end. But life does not work out like that. We do not know what's round the corner, but that does not stop us trying to find out. People regularly use astrology, visits to mediums, using parts of the Bible containing prophecy and other texts that they hope might shed a light on what's going to happen next in their own lives, in the world, and even our universe. So it's not surprising that Jesus' disciples and the early church were curious about the future. Now, our reading from Mark comes from the latter part of Jesus' ministry, and he was in Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was a hotbed of political intrigue. Not only was there a continual threat from the Zealots, the terrorists of the time, but the temple priests and elders were in a continual political battle with the Roman authorities, who were led by Pilate, who was ruthless and cruel. As we know, by AD 70, the city of Jerusalem lay in ruins, and the early Christians witnessed the build-up to this terrible time and its aftermath. And it's not surprising that they associated it with the possible second coming and the end of the world. For the Christians in Jerusalem, it certainly was the end of their world as they knew it. But at this time, life was uncertain for everyone, and the disciples who were with Jesus in Jerusalem at this point realised that he was on a potential collision course with the authorities. So what did the future hold? Mark was writing in retrospect to the early church that was also, as I say, living in an uncertain world. They all expected Jesus to return in their lifetime. And as time went on, they too started asking questions. What does the future hold for us? When will Jesus return in clouds of glory with his angels? So what did Mark report that Jesus said about the future? No one knows when that day or hour will come. Only the Father. And Jesus seemed to be saying here, so don't concern yourself about the exact moment of the second coming, the end of the world, or in fact any disaster, because you cannot prevent what you cannot see. Instead, Jesus went on to say that the important thing for each one of us was to prepare for it by being watchful. Now, we still do believe in Jesus' second coming. In our communion service, we say, Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. And down the ages, in each era, there have been groups of Christians that have been convinced that the second coming will happen in their lifetime. And in each era, the moment has passed. And all the time they have spent looking for prophecies and signs has been wasted. So like the early church, we need to take Jesus' advice and be concerned by the here and now. It's our own spiritual health that we need to be thinking about, not a future over which we have no control. We are like the servants left in charge by their master. Now, servants in Jesus' time had a very different relationship to their master compared with what is usual today. They were owned, even if they weren't slaves, and completely at their master's disposal. They lived their lives in tune with their master's bidding, and even when he was absent, it was assumed they would carry out their work as though he were there or about to return to his home. And these sort of homes with many servants, were often fortified with towers and watchmen, whose job it was to alert the household to danger, approaching guests, or the return of the master. Like the early church, Jesus is not with us in the flesh. However, his spirit is here. He, if we want him to, lives within each one of us. And we have a life in Christ, as Paul often described it when he was writing to the early church. This life is a mystery, but when we embrace it, Jesus dwells in us and unites us to himself in a new life. And we have to actively live out our new life as we wait and watch. And while we wait and watch, we need to be living that life to the full, in tune with our Master's bidding. And as he's absent, we must assume that we will carry out his work as though he were here and about to return. This is the first Sunday of Advent, the time of preparation for Christmas, when we celebrate Jesus' first coming. Perhaps we need during Advent to set aside time to reflect on how wakeful we are, how much we watch, and how much in tune we are with our Master's wishes. Amen.